What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about piracy and, more importantly, what they're calling the return of piracy, because up till recently, the piracy has been going down. And when we talk piracy, we're talking downloading television shows and movies and stuff, primarily television shows. The sharing of television shows has been dropping because of the of how Netflix has changed the market. Everything's released, most things are released globally. Everything can be viewed at once, which is what downloaders and streamers and things were doing before. And that was always a thing. I know I've done it. I remember I used to do it for Smallville because we didn't get them for 9 months after the United States. So it was a kind of thing of, you know, you'd read, it's like, yeah, I'll just watch it online. And 24 and stuff, you could do it. But gradually over time, you know, Sky over here started doing shows the following day or the same day in the afternoon because of the way that the internet allowed them to share it. But the return of piracy is coming in because there's a lot of people now feeling overwhelmed by the amount of streaming services. And it's like, well, I only want to watch one show on a streaming service. And so some people rip it and upload it because other people are going to download it because there are too many platforms. And this is going to be something that's going to continue to happen as years go on, as there are more and more streaming services and you have to pay for more and more of them. This thing's going to be coming back probably much more popular, and it wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing a little bit more work going on by the companies to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, the big fight against piracy has been going on since the beginning, even back like in the old days when you'd get a VHS tape from your friend and copy it or something like that. But
on that note, my cousin worked out a way. If we used a Betamax tape, we could rent a movie, record it onto Betamax, and then we could record it back onto VHS and you get around the copyright. So we were doing this back in the 80s. It was like, it's that kind of thing of, you know, piracy's been around for a long time and people are always going to be a lot quicker off the mark than the companies.
I mean, hell, if you really want to go back, just look at the history of fake art, you know, people passing off, you know, pieces as if they were by the masters or even farther back than that. This is ancient. Piracy is one of the oldest professions in the world. So the thing that was holding it back, as you alluded to, was say Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. Because one of the biggest ways to combat piracy isn't to make it illegal, isn't to make it harder to pirate, it's to make it easier to get the material in other ways.
Yeah.
And so as long as Netflix had a continual stream of content, of good content that was unique to the platform or came out close enough after the television show to make it worthwhile, I would just watch it on Netflix instead of downloading it illegally. As Netflix kind of does more and more personal content and less archival content, and, you know, Marvel's probably going to be pulling their stuff off for the Disney streaming, and WB is probably going to start pulling the DC content off for the DC streaming, and other companies, ABC or CBS, one of them, they've got the Star Trek show.
Yeah, because that's on Netflix over here.
Right, but it's not here. You have to be a CBS subscriber to do it here. And it's just getting split out all over the place. And it's like, yeah, I think it's just easier to go to the pirate site and download it now. And like you said, also, if there's only one show I want, why would I pay the money for one show?
Yeah.
This is all, you know, hypothetical still, because the market is still very heavily on Prime and Netflix. But all these companies, they want a piece of the pie. And they're splitting it off, and there's just less people who want to do that.
The trouble is, I feel, was, you know, growing up in an era where we had, you know, satellite and cable packages, it always was expensive, and that's what it was. And Netflix came along and offered an alternative that was really cheap, right? Netflix launched with, they were kind of the only real player. They managed to get a large share of the market of the archive stuff because the other companies were going, well, we're not using it. Yeah, you can have it for a fee. It's fine. It's extra income. that kept growing and kept growing, and people started dropping cable and satellite because you didn't need it because Netflix are doing more and more. And obviously the other companies have joined in. And but the idea then is you then had a whole company, a whole generation growing up with the idea of, well, I only need Netflix. I don't need anything else. And I only have to pay £8 a month for it. And why do I have to have five different platforms? And it's like, well, you used to have to do that. It was, you know, you can't expect to have this level of investment from all these companies for £8 a month for the rest of our, for the rest of eternity. The trouble is Netflix set an unrealistic precedent for a generation that, that you could have everything for such a low price and indefinitely. And that was never going to last. And the trouble is streaming and piracy are going to higher up. The only other thing that does get me is like, you know, if I, it's like now on Amazon Prime, I got Amazon Prime. I'll be honest. I think once I'm done with the Cloak and Dagger series, I'm very tempted to cancel because there's nothing on there. They've hardly put anything on the system that I want to watch. So I'm going to cancel it. And, but like you say, I could very easily have gone, well, I could just download it and stream it. But also you could have just used a 14-day free trial and watched it. And I don't know. I think streaming, I think the piracy is going to increase with all these different elements. But as long as these systems are low enough, we'll always counter argument that if it's easier. I mean, I stopped trying to download movies, you know, when you had, you watched, I remember watching The Scorpion King and someone got up and walked off. In, you know, and we used to sell, you know, people used to sell bootleg DVDs and stuff at the pub and stuff. You know, that's all got less and less. But then I also know that that's got less and less. But actually, the concept of these little streaming boxes, I know a couple of people that I know have got these streaming boxes that watch all the movies. And they've said to me, yeah, but it's cheaper. It's only like 30 quid and I can watch everything. I've got loads of movies on there. And I've turned to them and said, you do know that's illegal piracy. And they're like, what do you mean it's legal? I've brought the box. Or they've I've gone there and they go, can you fix it? It's not working anymore. I said, no, they've shut it down, or they've, you know, they've obviously, they've had to update it and change it. And I'm sort of trying to say to them, this is illegal. Just because you've brought a box that does this doesn't mean that it's, and this is what the companies are going, they need to start, they're going to have to, because they're, you know, they're selling these little USB devices and people are buying them on eBay and on from friends and stuff. And they think they are legitimate products. And, you know, this is, and they are, they're not, but this is where I've seen the rise of it come up through from people I know. And so many of them, oh yeah, you get this package or you get this app and you can watch everything. And they think that it's, you know, they've paid money for it. Therefore it's legal.
Well, conversely, you have other people who buy those things or who hack, you know, Amazon Fire Sticks. That's one that I'm aware of here in the States. I've got, I know a couple of people who've hacked the Fire Stick to include similar streaming services. And they know it's illegal, but they don't care because it's still a more cost-effective way of doing it than the way that the major companies are. And it's like, okay, yeah, I know it's illegal. I know I'm hurting the people who create these movies. And we're not talking about like Spielberg. We're talking about the key grips and the sound guys and the people who are on the set.
Yeah.
They don't lose the money when you pirate the thing directly, but with these movies making less money, there's going to be less movies made, which means less job opportunities, etc. But the people like, well, I spent $30 to get all these movies versus paying $3,000 to get the same number of movies, or, you know, these movies aren't available on Netflix, they're not available on Hulu. I'm getting these because the only other way to get it would be to buy it from Amazon or Best Buy. And why should I do that when I've got this as well? So you've got people who are ignorant of the fact that what they're doing is illegal, but you've also got people who are just like, yeah, it's illegal, but this is so much more convenient than the way they're doing it. And while we might yell at them and go, no, get them, if you like it, pay for it. Pay for it properly so that the people who made it get paid for it. At the same time, you kind of have to go, all right, I get it. Yeah. You know, it's Game of Thrones all over again. This is like the second time this week of talking about Game of Thrones. But when it first came out, season one, there was no way to watch Game of Thrones except being an HBO subscriber, which required you to be a regular television subscriber as well. And people were going, HBO, put this on iTunes, put it on Amazon Video. Let us buy it from you. And HBO was like, no, you have to be a subscriber. That is the only way to watch this. And so people are like, well, all right, I guess I'm pirating it then.
It's also, they've reduced the amount of time a lot of like movies and stuff have been brought down from like cinema to because back in the old days, we used to have to wait a year. There was a year between movie and the video, a year between video and buying the video, and another year before it got onto Sky, and another year before it took 4 years to get from cinema to television. Now that is so much quicker. And the more quicker they made it, the easier it is. Personally, it'd be if they could get movies down even quicker, get them out in a few weeks, get them out same day, premium rental. People would pay it because of being able to have access to it. But it's just one of those weird things, really.
They've already tried to do the premium access a couple of times. And it's normally, of course, the theaters that do the pushback because it's cutting into theater profits as well, which makes sense. But even now, at least here in the States, I assume over in the UK too, the digital version of these movies comes out 2 or 3 weeks before the physical version. And so if I wanted to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp, I can do it right now legally because I can purchase it on Amazon or iTunes and watch it. The DVD is not out for another couple of weeks, but that is a legal avenue for me to watch the movie right now at this moment.
But also what that does is it counter arguments, because now that once the digital version comes out so early, then that gets ripped, streamed and available way before the DVD comes out. And especially sometimes, like if we're like in the UK a few weeks or a few months behind, I think it was like Coco is a prime example of recently that got delayed like 3-4 months over here in Europe compared to the US. Well, what that meant was that movie was hitting DVD and digital services in the US before it hit the cinema over here. I mean, I used to import all my DVDs from the US because I'd get them 3 to 6 months before the UK. Now, obviously, if you want it first, you pay a premium. Obviously, the longer you wait, the cheaper it gets. So eventually, it does turn up on the net. And people have got to that point of like movies and stuff of, it all comes on Netflix. I don't have to worry about it eventually. And it's got so much faster. You look on Netflix, they're on there within sometimes 2 years, a year or two of the movie coming out. And but it's that funny thing of it's never been so easy and so good to get them. But now it's almost like you say, if you imagine going back to how it was 15, 20 years ago, the new generation would lose their mind over how long they have to wait for stuff.
We are definitely in the instant gratification era right now. But, going back to Coco, this is another one of those situations where if Disney had made it available to you legally, either in cinemas or available to download at the same time as it was in the States, it would not have been as pirated as much as it was.
Yeah.
At least not in the UK. Now, there will always be pirates. There will always be people who will go, no, I deserve this for free because I want it to be. We can't factor them into this. This is just a fact of life. But there are people who turn to piracy simply because there is no other way for them to get it. If Disney had released Coco at the same time in the US and the UK, it would not have impacted UK sales the way it did. Go ahead.
I was gonna say the big problem for me was that by the time it came out of the cinema, I was a bit like, I'll just wait now. I'll pick it up on Blu-ray because I'm not paying, for two cinema tickets. It's like the hype's gone. It wasn't like Avengers Infinity War where everybody sees it on that opening weekend and your entire social feed is blasted with it. It's like, no, it's been out for 4 months. I'm so far behind the curve, it's not new anymore. It was just that thing of like, well, there's no point me going out and rushing to the cinema to watch it, because while it was an awesome movie and I loved it, the buzz was gone. Didn't need it anymore. It just was, that whole aspect had gone. And that's the thing. And I think like the streaming service stuff of, they're going to have all these different people, and people are going to, just set up another email account and get the free trial, watch down, binge the one show that you want to watch on it, and then you cancel your subscription. We've all done it. It's the legal workaround. I wouldn't really say there's, that's, I've You know, people do it, you know, or the family members, each family member in the house, each signs up individually. And, you know, that's one way of getting around it. If there's only one show, it's, but when there's lots, but also like, but I think the streaming companies are going to get a little bit more aggressive on how, you know, I remember the days of using Napster for music and that didn't go down very well. And there was peer-to-peer networking and all these things and BitTorrent and, you know, they've all gone. So I'm sitting here as a person that was a student that used to do it all the time. As I've got older, I've got less and less inclined to do it because I don't need to do it now, because it's got so much easier to do it. And, you know, I used to spend, you know, my PC would be on and I'd spend 3 days downloading a movie because that was how long it used to take. And I'd fire it up and it would be in French. and the PC's been running for 3 days downloading it because, you know, that was how it was so slow. Because that's the other thing as well. You know, you can download it so much quicker than you used to.
Yeah, everything just makes the media that much easier to get. And as long as companies like Netflix can maintain a big library of things that people want to watch, and the want to watch part is critical. It doesn't matter if they have a huge library if there's nothing you want to watch. New content coming out in a timely manner, keeping it universal across the globe or at least across the territories that they're within, then they can maintain, at least to a degree, their business model. They might have to raise prices. They might occasionally have to add ads to like the beginning or ending of shows. If they start adding ads into the middle of shows, they're done. That's too many people will walk away.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, I associate American television with 150 adverts and no content, because that's what, you know, we go to America and be like, how many? Because we had a lot more restrictions.
Oh, it's awful.
And it was, you know, people got used to it because we always had the BBC, which never had it. So we've always had television without adverts, and the BBC always did that because you paid them. And now I get people going, you've had people go, well, I'm not paying for BBC. I don't watch it. Or I'm like, going, okay, so you don't watch anything on the BBC? Well, no, you don't need to. You can just go on iPlayer. You're supposed to. It's like the trouble is that thing of it's that kind of thing of like it's expected. And I can see why this is going to come in. I mean, I used to stream WWE events because it's like, oh, I don't want to pay for Sky Sports because it's so expensive. It's like 30, 40 quid. The WWE network came along and it was a monthly fee and I could watch it legally on my big telly with no hassle, no trying to find different part one and part two and then end up watching them. It was convenient. So I pay for it, but I can see I've done it in the past. So I can see it from both sides. So it's I can see why people do it, but I can also see why companies fight back against it. And the simple thing is, keep it low priced, keep it convenient, and people will pirate less. And that's why, you know, we were having a discussion only yesterday with somebody online about, you know, like the issue with Sky and all these different platforms. And people go, oh, well, I just use Freeview, or I'm not paying for any more services. I'm already paying for Netflix. And it's like, you know, you're going to see, there's a lot, you read the comments about the Disney streaming service, and people are always, I'm already paying for Netflix. I'm not paying for any more services. You know, they're only paying £8 a month for your content. This is the best time you've ever had. It's, you know, never going to get any cheaper than how you've had it. Netflix couldn't survive being the only player in town and paying that monthly low subscription. It was never going to last.
I mean, it could have, but companies get greedy, of course. You know,
I don't think it's even companies being greedy. I just feel like there was no way that could sustain of. No, Netflix then would have the control of what they were paying companies, and you're going to get less television, you'd get less choice, because ultimately companies would be like, well, we can't keep making programs for you as television was dying. You know, traditional television was dying and streaming was coming up. They were going to have to fill the void. I mean, you look at ESPN, the way that they were losing money hand over fist, and they came out with ESPN Plus, what, $4.99 a month? You know, that $4.99 a month compared to what I was paying for my sports packages on Sky of £20-25. There's a big difference.
Nah, see, but it's a completely different comparison. ESPN Plus, or whatever the heck it was called, is a different experience than what Netflix is. Now, I would say they would have to increase their prices to account for inflation, because you can't avoid inflation. But there is no reason that they couldn't have maintained a price point that would, you know, adjust with inflation. for a very long period of time. The main reason their price has to increase is because that the content providers are asking for, or demanding really more money for the product to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
And when you get down to it, them asking for more money is ultimately going to lead them to getting less money, because less people are going to be inclined to pay the increased price. You're looking at a situation where, you know, you've got to find that cross on the income versus expense sheet, and they keep kind of pushing it over to the right, which actually lowers the graph down. But it would require all the companies to be working together, which will never happen. And the capitalist market will never allow it to happen. So yes, in a sense, it was inevitable, but on the other hand, it didn't have to be if companies, you know, actually looked at it logically rather than how do we get an extra couple dollars into our shareholder program and all that stuff. But
nice. Yeah. Very, 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 very tricky. And I think it's going to be something that's going to continue to rise. But we'd love to know your thoughts on the rise of piracy and streaming services on the comments below. You can get in touch with us over at thiskingdom.com. You can like, follow, and subscribe. James, where can they find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.